This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Lim Su Ann and Kelly Anisa in the studio. And we have two stories for you today. First up,
a day at the petting zoo may be fun for the whole family, but do we know what bacteria and viruses are lurking there?
Ooh. And in our second story, well, if you were a female football fan in Iran, you'd have to disguise yourself as a man to watch a match in the stadium. So we'll be looking at that. And on social media?
Yes, and on Twitter, we're asking you, do you think the football fandom takes its female supporters seriously? So your options are yes, no, it's not a woman's sport, and or things are getting better. So to join the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Meanwhile, here's The Vines with Get Free.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That was Get Free by The Vines. And in our first story,
visiting petting zoos are often seen as a fun activity for the whole family, especially with young children. But how aware are we of the bacteria and viruses that can spread from these animals to humans? So a recent study carried out by a team of scientists in Israel showed that petting zoos may actually be harboring multi-drug resistant bacteria. Mm. So these are pathogens, you know, that would be less responsive or even not at all to commonly used drugs that we use to fight off these diseases.
Right. Yep. And in the study, they looked at 8 randomly chosen petting zoos geographically distributed across the country. So the presence of multi-drug resistant bacteria were tested for in samples of fecal matter as well as from the body surface of animals such as skin, fur and feathers. So when the test results came back, it showed that 77%, a majority of the multi-drug resistant bacteria, were found in the animal's feces. So the remaining 23% were found in the skin, fur or feathers.
Yep. And while this study focused on finding multi-drug resistant bacteria, it actually also shows us how widespread pathogens are in the environment of places like petting zoos. So to help us understand more about the spread of diseases as well as hygiene practices in petting zoos, we have Dr. Benedict Sim, Consultant Infectious Diseases Physician on the line. So Dr. Benedict, what are the diseases that are commonly and easily spread from animals to humans, especially in situations like a petting zoo?
Depends on the animals that are present in the petting zoo. Some animals are more closely linked to certain infections. If there are horses, then you can get things like diarrheal illnesses. Things like E. coli can spread in there, and other parasitic infections can also spread from horses. And then you've got other infections that can spread through the respiratory route. You can get things like rhodococcus and some other bacteria that can spread through droplets. For other grazing animals like deer and cattle or goats, sheep, on top of what I mentioned about for horses, you can also get skin infections from these animals. They are this group of viruses called parapox viruses, and they can cause infections on the skin. And then you've got rabbits. Rabbits can cause things like salmonella and some parasitic infections in the gut. And you can get ringworms from rabbits, from rodents as well. It's like rats, guinea pigs, and all that. They are well known to carry leptospirosis in their urine. If the zoo has, you know, things like birds are well known to be able to spread respiratory illnesses. I think the best known is this infection called psittacosis. Psittacosis comes from birds that belong to the psittacine family, you know, like parrots and parakeets. And then you can also get fungi infections from birds called cryptococcus. And influenza is a very well-known human infection, but there are many species of influenza viruses that actually reside in birds. So it depends on the type of animals. Some animals are more prone to spreading certain form of infections compared to others.
And how do these pathogens spread from the animals to humans? You know, what is the method of transmission?
The most common way is by fecal oral spread of certain particular germs. Sometimes things can spread through the respiratory route as well. These are rarer, organisms that can spread from the breaths of the from the respiratory droplets of the animals, but that is if the animals themselves are unwell. And then you can have contact infections like ringworm and scabies from the animals itself, and this has been reported in journals before that patients do get this kind of infections. Sometimes you can get them from scratches of animals, or licks from bites of animals, or contamination of the environment by the urine of the animals. In Malaysia, and many mammals actually harbor leptospirosis in their urine. They can also harbor on the, not just directly from the fingers, but also other things that go into the mouths of visitors, you know, like children, for example, children who have pacifiers. You know, the pacifiers fall on the ground, and the ground may have been contaminated already, and, you know, the pacifier is just wiped down and put back into the mouth of the child, or, you know, children wiping their mouths in the zoo, or even, you know, just hugging and being in very near proximity to the animals. And then you've got the contaminated surfaces, the rails and the grills that are in these areas.
And are there any signs that we can look out for in animals that may be carrying these pathogens?
I presume in most petting zoos, the animals are fairly well, or, you know, those who are ill are not brought out for display. So, and I think therein lies the danger, because the animals, in fact, humans for that matter, you know, are not necessarily ill, but may carry around germs with them. You know, they are colonized with germs that can spread to other people. And these animals may be harboring bugs that are, you know, either the bugs are at very low levels, or these bugs, the animals may be used to them. So the animal doesn't get ill, but when it crosses species to a human being, then it can cause illness. So there's a perception that pet farms are clean and wholesome. So that may let people put their guard down, you know, against some basic hygienic practices.
So who would be most at risk of falling ill when exposed to these bacteria?
Oh, yes. So if a person has got a low immune system, and the immune system can be low because they are taking certain medications that dampen the immune system, like steroids, and put you at risk of getting some of these infections. Or if you happen to be somebody who is cancer survivor, or you're after a transplant, or if you've got untreated HIV, these are some of the well-known conditions that cause your immune system to be low. Pregnant women are slightly higher risk of certain infections. Those at the extremes of ages, those very, very young, or those very old as well, the immune systems are not quite up to the mark. And I guess unsupervised children, some of the things they do in the petting zoos may not be hygienic and may expose the child to a lot of these pathogens.
So we often hear about drug-resistant diseases in the context of hospitals or our liberal use of antibiotics. So why are animals in places like petting zoos becoming more likely to harbour multi-drug-resistant bacteria?
Actually, any animal or human, for that matter, if you have an antibiotic exposure, and the antibiotic exposure can be either when the animal themselves are ill, or sometimes they are used as growth promoters as well. But anywhere where there's antibiotics that's used, selects out these multi-drug-resistant bacteria. So these bacteria may be harboring in the guts of these animals. And I presume these animals, you know, when during the off hours, you know, the animals are put together. And so wherever there's crowding, there's it just promotes spread of these bacteria that may be colonizing the guts of some of these animals. I don't particularly think that petting zoos are at a much higher risk of harboring drug-resistant bacteria, but they certainly may be a source of drug-resistant bacteria. This has been described even from the 2011-2012 in countries like Canada and all that, where they've actually gone down to do studies of this petting zoos, and they found that there is a risk that the animals there do harbour drug-resistant infections. So I would presume that a similar scenario is seen back here as well.
So what steps can visitors or even the management of places like petting zoos take to ensure hygienic practices after handling animals?
I think the single most important measure that can be taken and should be taken is reminders to wash hands and setting out areas where people can wash their hands, to get wash hands with soap in these areas. So farms and all that, they should have hand washing facilities there. There should be reminders that patrons should not bring food in. Perhaps, you know, don't put children's play areas or eating areas just adjacent to where the animals are. It's also probably, you know, helpful to have storage area for personal belongings, you know, so that you don't bring in your personal belongings into the farm and get more things contaminated. Young children, if they are going into these areas, should always be supervised, because sometimes they put all kinds of things into their mouths. The animal areas should be regularly cleaned down, from the droppings of the animal, and the surfaces need to be wiped down. I presume the animals are seen regularly by veterinarians. If not, they should be seen regularly. And I guess it also makes a lot of sense to have a clear separation area between where the animals are and where the humans are. So the humans can go in, but there's a barrier for those who may not want to go in. Some zoos, I know, they do prohibit feeding of animals, because once you feed an animal, then you're more likely to come into contact with the saliva of the animal and vice versa. So those kind of advice and signages and all should be prominent. Just as a last note as well, I think doctors who are seeing a patient with a suspected infection, it is thought that we should be asking patients about, you know, whether you have got any pets and exposure to animals, and that I believe is not routinely asked by doctors. But now I guess studies like this highlight the need to address this as well.
So that was Dr. Benedict Sim, consultant infectious diseases physician. And just to add on to what Dr. Benedict said about the use of antibiotics in animals, you know, this study that was carried out in Israel did actually find that animals in the petting zoos that were treated with antibiotics were up to 7 times more likely to shed multi-drug resistant bacteria to people who touched them, who played with them.
Yeah. So, and he made a lot of good points about the way that these animals should be taken care of, you know, where there should be proper barriers and the kinds of facilities that should be provided. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to visit petting zoos, which I'm personally against, the really common sense kind of things, like washing your hands properly after you touch the animals, and teaching your children those kinds of practices as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, were you aware that, you know, of these type of hygiene practices that should be carried out at petting zoos? I mean, have you ever been to any recently?
Nope, I don't visit petting zoos, like I said. Yeah, I'm... Dr. Benedict, I feel, was very generous towards the operations of petting zoos. I have seen a number here in Malaysia where I think they can only very loosely be termed as petting zoos. Sometimes they are just, I won't name the place, but they were just an enclosure off to the side of some place that is not actually meant for animals to be kept. And so the care of the animals was terrible. The place was dirty. And yes, the diseases was the first thing that sprang to mind for me. And I almost feel like, you know, simple hand washing wouldn't be enough in a situation like that. It was horrifying to me, not only to look at... To consider the spread of diseases, but just the state of the animals, how stressed and how unhappy they must have been.
I mean, I haven't been to a petting zoo, I think, since I was in primary school. It's been a long time. And even then, I was just telling Sue Ann before the show that I wonder if the same thing applies to stray animals. Like, can they carry this type of diseases? So that's always been my the way I look at it. I do not touch stray animals. And if I were at a petting zoo, even back then, I never liked touching them. I was always worried about whether it was clean. And like Xiaowick said, like, I don't think that it's something you can just wash off with soap.
And I think the difference between stray animals and animals in a place like a petting zoo is... Well, the bacteria become resistant to your usual drugs because of injudicious use of antibiotics. And in places like petting zoos, they're probably using antibiotics
quite liberally
yep.
to keep the animals well and to perhaps to help them grow faster as well, as is the case with agricultural practices. And that's how you get the spread of the rise of drug-resistant infections.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's just quite scary because, like how Dr. Bendix said, sometimes these animals look fine, you know, they just might be carriers, and then you never know what mm-hmm. kind of bacteria that they mm-hmm. may be carrying.
Yeah.
And so overall, I think we do actually have regulations that cover zoos and animal welfare here in Malaysia. But from what I've found, petting zoos weren't specifically mentioned in all this. Mm. So it seems more like a grey area, you know.
So who's looking after, I mean, like who's monitoring
yep.
The welfare and the cleanliness and all the issues,
yeah, because
right?
they're not technically zoos, but then they're not really like private pets
domestic,
as well.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think more has to be done to ensure that, you know, petting zoos are held up to a certain standard of hygiene, you know, that we also not only take care of the people who are visiting them, mm. but also, like you say, you know, the healthcare and happiness of the animals as well.
Yeah. Well, if you have any thoughts on petting zoos, do get in touch with us via Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Meanwhile, we also have a separate poll on Twitter.
Yeah, so we're asking you, do you think the football fandom takes its female supporters seriously? So your options are yes, no, it's not a woman's sport, or things are getting better. So, as Sharik said, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You could even call in at 03-7733-2900.
So, after the break, we'll be talking about women being banned from football stadiums. But first, here's I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free by Nina Simone, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.